listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, and it's our Earth Day Takeover today from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're bringing you locally produced radio specials all day featuring music, activist interviews, nature sounds, and all things environmental justice. If you appreciate content like this, consider supporting KBOO by going online to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321. Help us reach our fundraising goal of $500 this Earth Day. This kind of program is only possible with your support. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Early one morning the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through, tangled up in blue.
Good morning, you're listening to our special Earth Day Day of programming around environmental and justice issues. Today we're talking with Max Wilbert of the group Protect Thacker Pass. Max, welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Emma. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Thacker Pass and the area in southeastern Oregon where there's a proposed lithium mine would devastate the ecosystem there and would ignore the cultural heritage of that area. Can you talk to us about what are the issues going on right now in southeastern Oregon around lithium mining and Thacker Pass?
Well, we're seeing this huge explosion in demand for lithium right now, and it's mostly being driven by the rise in electric cars. So we've all been told this story that electric cars are green and good for the planet. But like any other consumer product that comes out of a factory, they're made of raw materials, and extracting those raw materials has impacts on the planet, serious impacts. And so in this case, we're talking about the lithium that goes into the batteries that are in electric vehicles, also smartphones, laptops, any battery-powered device, essentially. So this region on the Nevada-Oregon border is the biggest lithium deposit in the United States, one of the largest in the world. And corporations have had their eyes on it for many years, but it's only recently that Thacker Pass is the first mine that is ramping up towards construction. They've started construction of the Thacker Pass lithium mine as of September of last year, and they're ramping up that construction dramatically. So right now there are bulldozers rolling through this old growth sagebrush habitat, this incredibly beautiful, biodiverse, lush landscape. You know, it's not lush in the sense of a Mount Hood old growth forest, but it's lush in the sense of a Nevada sagebrush ecosystem. I often describe it as being like an old growth forest that never gets higher than your waist. Yeah, so Thacker Pass is an incredibly important place to wildlife and plant species, but it's also very culturally important. And it's a place where the indigenous people have traveled and gathered food and hunted and spent time living for thousands and thousands of years. It's particularly significant because it was the site of two massacres of Northern Paiute people. One of those took place in 1865, and that was part of the Snake War, which was one of the Indian, so-called Indian Wars in the West, where you had U.S. cavalry soldiers massacring between 35 and 50 Northern Paiute people at Thacker Pass. The other massacre took place earlier in history. We don't have an exact date for that one because it was only recorded in the oral history of the Paiute people. And that was an intertribal conflict that took place earlier, prior to colonization and contact. But both of these events are very significant, and it's led to Thacker Pass being this very sacred place. And that's not just true of Thacker Pass, it's also true of the whole region. So Thacker Pass is on the Nevada side of the border. It's about 15 miles from Oregon. But if you go 16 miles north, you'll find this site where a corporation called Jindalee wants to build a mine on the Oregon side of the border. And that project is earlier in the permitting process. A lot of Oregon environmental groups are following that project and hopefully will be ramping up to fight it. But that project is also in a very culturally important place, a very ecologically important place, one of the most important habitats left for the greater sage grouse, this threatened bird species. They should be on the endangered species list. They're not, unfortunately. So this issue affects Oregonians as well.
We're talking today with Max Wilbert. Max is an organizer with the group Protect Thacker Pass. Today is a special day of programming around environmental and justice issues for this special Earth Day of programming. There's some people maybe here who know where Burning Man is. It's kind of out that way. Some people know about the Alvord Desert. Maybe they've been out there. Where exactly is this located?
Yeah, so if folks have been out to the Alvord Desert or the Steens Mountain area, we're talking a little bit southeast of there, not far at all. This is east of Burning Man. Thacker Pass is actually in the watershed of the Humboldt River, which drains into the Black Rock Desert where Burning Man is held. If folks have ever been out to Burns, Oregon, or out to the Owyhee Canyonlands, those areas are sort of north and northeast of Thacker Pass. So that's the region. It's a very remote part of Oregon and Nevada. And that's part of its beauty to me. It's a place where you can walk out on the landscape and find a valley where there's no human beings within 20 miles of you. And you find absolute silence except for birdsong and maybe the sounds of some lizards rustling in the sagebrush. It's an experience of solitude and wilderness that you rarely find these days.
Is there any idea of how this would affect the migratory flights of birds? I know that this area, the area around Malheur, is an important flyway for almost all migrating bird species that travel up and down the western side of the North American continent. And I'm just wondering how a lithium mine might impact their flyways.
Well, it's very clear from the research that the number one threat to birds and migratory birds is habitat destruction. And that is what's happening at Thacker Pass. That's what's planned for the Jindalee mine site in Oregon. These mines will destroy tens of thousands of acres of native habitat for wildlife. And in the time that I spent at Thacker Pass over the past 3 years, I spent almost probably more than a year of my time on site camping there. I've seen golden eagles, ferruginous hawks, prairie falcons, red-tailed hawks, sage grouse, meadowlarks, sage thrashers, killdeer, dozens and dozens of other bird species, including their nesting habitat. I'll never forget last spring walking through the middle of what is being turned into an open pit mine right now and coming across a ground nest of a killdeer with freshly hatched babies in it. And the mother made her display of pretending to be hurt and running away to try and lure me away, to protect her babies. But I just, you know, took a quick glance and took a quick picture of the babies and then left the area because I didn't want to disturb her, didn't want to disturb the babies. But these, you know, these brand new birds who have maybe been alive out of their shell for one day, maybe half a day. And here they are, these absolutely tiny, helpless beings, you know, trying to grow up in the middle of what's being turned into an open pit. This is a story that's being repeated all across the country, all across the world. And unfortunately, this new green, so-called green extraction rush is contributing to that in the same way that fossil fuel extraction does.
The process of lithium mining leaves behind a lot of toxic waste fills, and it gets into the aquifer. Can you talk about how lithium mining could poison the water in that part of southeastern Oregon?
Well, it's important to understand that the mining process that the company Lithium Americas is planning to use at Thacker Pass has never been done before. It's untested. And in my conversations with a geologist and hydrologist who studies these issues in detail, Steve Emmerman, he says that lithium is the new white gold. And what that means is that it suspends these people's rational thinking. They get crazy. They get gold fever because it's such a profitable industry. And so literally, you have these untested, unproven technologies that are going to be used in the waste rock stockpile, for example, for the Thacker Pass mine, that if the calculations are wrong, could result in toxic materials, including radioactive substances, arsenic, mercury, antimony, uranium, being liberated from the soil and going into the air, going into the groundwater, flowing into local streams and creeks, getting into the wildlife, getting into the local communities' water supplies and into the air that they breathe. It's very significant. And anyone who's lived in an area where there's a lot of mining knows that this is what happens. Whether you're talking about the acid mine drainage, you know, in places like Montana where you have a lot of hard rock mining, and you get this very toxic water draining out of these old mines, or whether you're talking about, you know, the failure of tailings dams at places like Mount Pawley in British Columbia. Mining is a dangerous process, and it brings up things from underground that are safest to keep down there. And, you know, that causes a lot of health impacts to the community, to the wildlife, and those are going to last for hundreds and hundreds of years, possibly thousands.
So what are their plans for mitigation? Have you heard anything about what they plan to do when they're done with mining?
The company Lithium Americas is required by law to do some mitigation and what they call reclamation of the mine site. That's obviously better than nothing. In my opinion, and in the opinion of many ecologists and scientists who've assessed not just the Thacker Pass mine, but how these projects work in general, it's not enough. There's no way to offset the bulldozing of 20,000 acres of native habitat. Even if you're coming in and bringing in native seeds and so on after the project is over, you've destroyed the soil seed bank. You've exposed all the bacterial and fungal communities that make up the basis of life on this planet on land to the sun and to the air and to desiccation and drying out, and you've killed off those communities. You have caused all the wildlife to flee. And so, you know, what's been seen in places where mine reclamation has happened, in places like Appalachia, where you have mountaintop removal, coal mining, reclamation does lead to some species coming back. But you see these lasting impacts on especially the sensitive species that are going on indefinitely at this point. We don't know how long those impacts are going to last. And that's the real issue here, is that in a world where we're in the sixth mass extinction and global warming is accelerating and habitat destruction is this ongoing, very serious problem, it's irresponsible to me to destroy thousands of acres of native habitat and then call that green.
Thank you. I'm curious as to how the local community has responded to this proposed mine project at Thacker Pass. Have you heard anything from the people who live in the surrounding community?
The farmers and ranchers who live closest to Thacker Pass are mostly opposed to the project, but they feel powerless. They feel that they're facing a $1 billion corporation, the mining industry as a whole, which is very powerful in the state of Nevada. The state and the federal government are on the side of the mining company. So they have felt pushed out of the process, like their voices have been ignored and so on. They're not happy with this because they're going to be dealing with the direct impacts. That's also largely true of the Native American communities in the region. The closest reservation is the Fort McDermitt Paiute Shoshone Reservation. And I regularly spend time down there meeting with folks, talking with folks about what's going on and organizing together. And people are very concerned about the pollution impact because they're directly downwind of this project. The same is true of other tribes in the area who are very concerned about the pollution impacts. There are some people who are in favor of the mine, and that's going to be the reality in every one of these fights. You know, we have people who are poor, who are working class, who need jobs, who are looking for a way to survive and get by and feed their families. And I don't begrudge them for that. I think that we need to do better. We need to go in a different direction. And, you know, short-term benefit, a few jobs for a few decades, is not worth poisoning the land, poisoning the water, leaving our children with a destroyed future for hundreds and hundreds of years.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the tailings from some of the, you know, like if you're able to see the tailings from mining projects in Montana, like near Missoula, Montana, you can actually see them from a satellite. And those tailings and those toxic ponds that have been created in the, and also in the tar sands, I mean, the kind of devastation that mining creates in the West is an unexplored subject for many of us in the environmental community because we don't see it quite as readily. One of the things that mining projects do is that they go to spaces where they think that there's not going to be a lot of visibility and therefore not a lot of public opposition. And they basically completely destroy the landscape. They leave it poisoned and ruined for probably millennia. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if lithium mining did the same thing to southeastern Oregon. It's an incredibly beautiful area. It's just so, so beautiful. And I know that Oregonians here in Portland love going out to eastern Oregon. I mean, we love the beauty of the landscape. We love going to see the natural places like the Steens Mountains. People love to get out and recreate. And it's just a shame that it's, you know, there's plans to try to devastate this in order to do what is essentially greenwashing. This whole issue of cars, like there's been this push, and now like all the Democrats around the country are saying, oh, the solution to global warming is electric cars. And so they think that lithium is the greenest thing there is. So how do you sell that to them? How do you tell them, well, no, it's really not green at all?
Well, that's a really important question, Emma, and I hope that it's one that listeners will take very seriously, because I used to think that electric cars were a big part of the solution, and I no longer think that. As a grassroots environmentalist who has been fighting the fossil fuel industry, fighting extraction, fighting logging, fighting to save our planet for decades now, I no longer believe that, because I have seen with my own eyes the impacts that these technologies cause. And I have done the in-depth research. I helped write a book on these topics, looking at, from an environmentalist perspective, looking at the reality of the extraction, the industrial scale devastation that goes into producing cars. And it's not just cars. It's the highways that they drive on. It's the charging infrastructure that they require. It's the factories that they come from. It's the mines that are necessary to build them in the first place. You have a spider web of environmental impacts. And a lot of people tend to ignore this because cars are really convenient. You know, if you need to get somewhere, they're one of the best things available. And we've become very used to them, despite the fact that a couple generations ago, our ancestors didn't have cars and they got by. In some ways, their lives were harder than ours. Travel was certainly a lot more difficult, but they got by. And critically, they had a much lower impact on the planet. And that's something that I think a lot of environmentalists and especially a lot of politicians don't want to grapple with, is the ecological reality that sometimes our convenience and our luxury is at odds with what the planet needs. And if we're not willing to look at that honestly as adults with wisdom and discernment and make choices collectively as a society that turn us away from this destructive path that we're on, then things are only going to get worse. And I think that's why this whole idea of electric cars are green, they're going to save us, they're going to lead us into some utopian future where we solve climate change and we live in balance with the planet, but we maintain this highly consumeristic industrial modern lifestyle where we can travel at the snap of our fingers anywhere we want to go, that's not a reality. That's a fantasy. And it's a very compelling fantasy. I can see why people want it. It's very understandable, but it's just not true. And, you know, this is a situation, you know, like the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus. Eventually, we have to grow up and we have to look at reality and get over these things and move on to a more realistic perspective. And I think if we can do that, it transforms this from about giving up things and, you know, sort of going without. It transforms it to a real sense of embracing our humanity, embracing our adult wisdom, and deliberately making choices that are going to make the world better at the physical level for future generations.
Thank you. We're talking today with Max Wolbert about Protect Thacker Pass, the movement to stop lithium mining on the southern Oregon border with Nevada. Max, we have about 5 minutes left. I want to make sure that we get a couple of things in. One of them is, where can people go to learn more about Protect Thacker Pass? Is there a way people can connect?
Yeah, people can find me on social media, but our website is protectthackerpass.org. The organization is also on social media. There are a lot of groups and people involved in this fight, and I recommend following and supporting all of them. People are doing a lot of good work on this issue. Unfortunately, the reality is it seems like we're losing this fight for Thacker Pass. That's something that I'm facing with difficulty right now. I've been shedding a lot of tears lately, to tell the truth, Emma, and I know the same is true for a lot of people I've been working with, because we've been pouring our hearts into this for going on 3 years now. But we're not giving up, and there's another mine coming down the pipeline on the Oregon side, the Jindalee mine, and we're gearing up to fight that one as hard as we can as well.
So for people who maybe want to look at what's next, what will be involved in resisting the expansion of lithium mining in southern Oregon? How can we begin to prepare for supporting that campaign?
Well, I think there are a couple of very important angles. There are some friends of mine out there on site right now in what's called the McDermott Caldera, doing on-the-ground botanical research, looking at the rare plants and especially how the plant species and the assemblages of plants show a long history of human involvement. So they're doing ethnobotanical research on the ground, essentially, trying to show that this is a very culturally important place. This area is also incredibly important for the greater sage grouse, the bird species I mentioned, the Lahontan cutthroat trout, fish species who are listed as an endangered species. We need biologists, we need environmental organizations to start working hard to protect those species from this mining boom that is just beginning. The whole McDermott Caldera is threatened to become a massive industrial zone, something like 30 miles long from north to south and 10 miles wide. This would be an absolute disaster for the ecology of southeastern Oregon and northern Nevada. So we need people to be involved at every possible level. People should visit our website, sign up for our email list, follow us on social media, and most importantly, try and get involved in some way. Take some action. We've got some ideas and suggestions for how folks can do that. But, you know, frankly, a lot of the listeners are probably smarter and more experienced than I am. So I hope people come up with their own ideas and, you know, use their own genius and their own minds to help protect this place.
I think that one of the things that Eastern Oregon really can teach Oregonians is how long geological history really is and how adaptive the environment is to subtle change. There's something about the way that we live here on the eastern side of the state, in the valley, where everything is so fast and accessible and convenient. And when you go back out to Eastern Oregon, you have a chance to really slow down and to hear the wilderness and to really get in touch with the things that are essential about life. So I really want to thank you for spending time talking with us today about this work to stop lithium mining. Max, is there anything in the last couple of minutes that we haven't covered today that you'd like to make sure people know about with Protect Thacker Pass and also with the gearing up for stopping the Jindalene mine?
Well, thank you very much, Emma, for saying that, because I'm sure the audience, and I know myself, resonate very deeply with what you just said about the different pace that you find in this area of Eastern Oregon. It's really incredible when you spend time out there and you're not looking at your phone, you're not driving at 80 miles an hour, but you're just stopped. It's a different experience fundamentally than being here on the west side, where we have these big rushing rivers and these towering mountains, and you know, you're deep in the forest often. It's a very, very different experience, an embodied experience as a human being. And it's profound. It's beautiful. So I urge people to visit these areas, to see them, to see what's at stake. That's what really changed things for me. That's what led to us deciding to fight and set up a protest camp and get involved in filing these lawsuits and do everything we could to protect this place, was spending time out there on the land, actually visiting it and sitting down and knowing that this land under my feet right now is threatened with total destruction. Because that puts the choice on us as individuals to say, am I going to do something about this or not? And that's a choice that we all have to make, not just with Thacker Pass, not just with Jindalee, but with all the destruction that's happening across our planet. We have to make that choice to take action, to do something, to follow our hearts and follow the morality that rises from that instinctive, intuitive connection to the land that you just mentioned, Emma. So thank you again for that.
Thank you so much. We've been talking this morning with Max Wilbert of the group Protect Thacker Pass. Max, thanks so much for joining us for this special day of KBOO programming.
Thank you, Emma.
You are tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Calling all denizens of Earth. Tune in to KBOO on Saturday, April 22nd from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. for KBOO's Earth Day Takeover. It's a whole day of radio programming devoted to climate action and environmental justice. Join us and prepare for nature sounds, music, and activist interviews focused on our shared climate future. That's KBOO's Earth Day Takeover on Saturday, April 22nd from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and online at kboo.fm/earthday.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, and it's our Earth Day Takeover today from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're bringing you locally produced radio specials all day featuring music, activist interviews, nature